Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
The gospel lesson today is taken from the Gospel of Luke chapter 6. And reading from verse 27, we have Jesus teaching his disciples. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies and do good to them, and lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. This is the word of God. As we meditate on Scripture, we want to understand what God is saying to us. And sometimes he's saying something we need to do, something we need to do differently. Sometimes he's telling us about something we're doing well and encouraging us to keep on keeping on. Sometimes he's speaking about himself and revealing how his kindness and his grace are being exercised in our world today. Sometimes he's speaking a word of rebuke, catching us at a bad moment and recognizing some deeply ingrained fault in us. At other times, he's speaking a gentle word of correction, where it's just a little bit of a course change that is needed. All the time, God is acting in love towards you and towards me and towards the world at large. God is love. Now, if we don't understand what the word love means, we will completely misunderstand the nature of God. If God were what they call a sugar daddy, who was just pouring out all kinds of blessings on somebody, irrespective of anything else, and not really interested in their good, but just in bribing them and pleasing them, and that is not the kind of love that God has. God is not someone who doesn't care what people do with their lives. And so in his love, he wants to turn us from destructive ways. He wants to train us away from anxiety. He wants us to let go of bitterness. And let's face it, sometimes when we're learning a skill, people have to be firm with us in order to get us to try the new approach. We're so comfortable with the way we've always behaved. It works for us, we think. And even when it doesn't work for us, it's familiar. So God in his love is not the kind of person to just let that stuff go. He's going to engage with you in his love. He's going to be patient with you in his love. He's going to be constant with you in his love. He's not going to seek himself in his love. Some authors, I think of C.S. Lewis in particular, describes the kind of love that people, the kind of thing that people call love, that can be 9/10 hatred and still call it, they still call it love. It can be all about controlling their children. It can be all about managing the world around them for their pleasure, self-seeking, for their sense of accomplishment, instead of seeking the real good of those they claim to love. Maybe you've experienced that kind of love. You've been manipulated and pushed and prodded, and the person has always said they're doing it for your good, but it's clearly apparent that they're self-seeking. God is not self-seeking. The thing that God seeks for you, and this is the words of Jesus, he said, "I have come so that you may have life, and that abundantly." At another place he says, "I am telling you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full." That doesn't just apply to the words he was saying at that particular moment. That applies to this lesson in Luke about loving your enemies. How's that joyful? How's that life? Well, eternally, loving your enemies is the key to understanding God's love for you. Because let's face it, sometimes we're not God's friends. You know the times when you've gone your own way and you just didn't care what anybody else thought. When you were so hurt or so angry, or you were just so empty that God didn't matter anymore. And you did your own thing no matter who got hurt. Everybody has a story like that in their life. We need God's love to repair us. And yet if God didn't love those who didn't love him, we'd be all lost. We wouldn't have a chance. We'd be continuing on in our recklessness and our selfishness, in revenge and acting out of resentment and bitterness. Love needs a source. And if God wasn't pouring his love into the world, I think all the love would just drain out of it. Good is so readily overcome by evil. You see it. There are people who were bullied their whole lives, and when they finally get free of the bullying, they discover they've become like the people that bullied them. And they use their power or their position to try and get everybody to walk their way, to push other people around, because that's what that's the sea they swam in growing up. It's so easy to become like your enemies. But Jesus, in telling us to love our enemies, says that's where you get the victory. That's where you don't become like the people who've hurt and hated you. That's where you're like God, because God continues in his love towards people that have hurt him. Jesus dying on the cross demonstrated the victory of love, because even in death, love was not conquered. You could insult him, you could mock him, you could flog him with a whip that had fragments of bone in the ends of the whip. You could nail him to a cross and hang him there and continue to hurl insults at him. But love wasn't defeated. The body fails, the heart stops, he commends his spirit to God. And as he goes, he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." I don't know. I hear that line sometimes and I go, "Jesus, you're being a little bit too generous there. They did know what they were doing. They knew they were being mean, spiteful. They knew that they were envious, and that's what drove them as leaders of the Jewish community to push you out of the way. They knew that what they were doing was wicked. How can you say, forgive them? They know not what they do." They didn't know they were crucifying the very Son of God, perhaps. They didn't know that they were pushing you into a place where on the cross you would be separated from your heavenly Father by the weight of sin on the world. They certainly didn't know that what they were doing was part of a great plan by you and your Father to redeem the world. I guess they didn't know what they were doing. But you forgave them. You loved them. Now, for us who look at that story, who read of the love, the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13, we can see that the love of God is in Christ, but we may have to push a little further. You see, I read that passage, and maybe when you were praying with me, you went, love keeps no record of wrongs. Does God really keep no record of wrongs? What does that even mean? The fact is that though God knows your sins, he doesn't hold them against you anymore. You see, forgiving is not forgetting. Forgiving is deciding to let go of the debt of what they owe you. Have you ever thought about that when somebody has hurt you? They owe me. They ruined my day. They owe me a good day. They ruined my life. They owe me a good life. They took something from me and they owe it back to me. Some people use that as a lever to get things out of people. Well, remember when you did that? And then they try and extract another payment on the debt. Do you know that God doesn't do that? God forgives you your sin. He doesn't say, we'll put off the payments. He says, I'll suffer the loss. Let's go back to where we were. God remembers your weaknesses. He remembers the things that have caused you harm and that have caused you to harm others. He doesn't forget those things. But forgiving the debt that you owe, he's willing to work with you to strengthen you where you're weak and to transform you where you need renewal. This is love. Now, I mentioned, and I got to be careful about time here, but I mentioned that I was thinking about this passage because it's the 34th anniversary of my marriage to Erica. Sometimes, even now, I still refer to her as Missy, because when she was growing up, that was the nickname her dad gave her, and we all called her Missy until she came to Newfoundland with me and started in ministry there, and she thought Missy wasn't quite dignified enough for a minister's wife. Erica's been my friend, my wife. We've had four children together, four wonderful, wonderful kids. We're now celebrating, you know, grandchildren and enjoying all those blessings. We've both been touched by the love of God in our lives, and frankly, I don't know how people make it through without that. Marriage is probably the hardest place to fulfill the calling of love. Because you get to know somebody real deep down in marriage. You get to know the things that annoy you, or could annoy you. You get to know the mistakes they make, and not just the mistakes, the selfishness they have. Now, I haven't discovered any of that in my wife, so I'm kind of speaking out of turn here, but I'm sure she's discovered a lot of that in me. I know for sure she's discovered a lot of that in me. In your closest relationships, whether marriage or friendship, whether parenting or being parented, you have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in the people that you work with, in the people that work with you, in the closest and the most distant relationships. And yet, somehow, love has remained. If it hasn't, may I say that we can always go back to the well. We can always go back to the source, to Jesus, and let his love fill us again. We can find that Jesus is not finished with us, and he's not going to give up because we've faltered or failed. Love never fails. Jesus never fails. Do you and I fail? Yes. We're not perfect in love yet. But Jesus has a program here. Jesus has a plan. Jesus has a destiny, if you will, for each of us. Jesus has a purpose. And he has the wisdom and the power to fulfill that purpose. And he has the patience, the love, to bring it to completion. So come to Jesus again and again. Come and gaze upon his love and be transformed. Come and practice his love. Let's practice his love on each other. I'll make mistakes, and you'll make mistakes. But with Jesus as our coach, as our guide, as our Lord, as our Savior, we will learn to love each other as he has loved us. And that's good news for you. That's good news for me. That's good news for the whole world. Let's pray. You are good, Lord, and your steadfast love endures forever. We don't understand everything you do, because sometimes your wisdom looks harsh. Sometimes your actions are just difficult to figure out why you're doing what you're doing. But we have this truth that you are love, and you never fail to love. Lord, in all that you do, help us to trust you and give us wisdom to see your love working in our lives. But more, let us bow down before your love. Let us be shaped, filled, cleansed, helped, sustained by your love. Let your presence be everything to us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I've tried to be starting to put some songs after the service, after the message, to give us some time to reflect. And this first hymn, I think, is a good hymn any time of day. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.